to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome. This podcast is the sermon for Sunday, June 11th, 2023, by Eric Williams.
A little under 100 years ago, my grandfather and grandmother, who were living in Wales, decided to move to America. Actually, it was not both of them. It was my grandmother who decided that. My grandfather wanted to stay. He was, however, working as a coal miner, a filthy, difficult, low-paying job that was not really supporting his growing family, three young children. My grandmother, being a woman of foresight and also indomitable will, forced her husband, against his will, to get on a boat and come to America, where she had a relative who could sponsor them, and they emigrated. And their timing was perfect. They came to New York in 1930, just in time for the Great Depression. Out of the frying pan and into the fire. When they were making up their minds, or she was making up her mind to leave, I am sure many things went through her mind. She looked at a hopeless life in the south of Wales. She looked at a difficult life in America, and she had the guts, the grit, the determination, and most of all, the faith to take that leap and to try for a better life. Like so many Americans over the centuries, they took a leap of faith that this would be a better life. Think of immigrants. I mean, how many of you can trace your lineage back to somebody who came from somewhere else? A bunch, right? We have a few who don't, but but many of us came from somewhere else, or at least our ancestors did. They hoped against hope. They had courage and they had faith and they longed for a better life. I think that was true of Abram as well. We're going to be, just a little spoiler alert, the entire summer is going to be the story of Abram and his family. We're going to read, not all of it, we're going to hit the highlights, but we're going to read about Abraham, as he later was known, his son Isaac, Sarah and Hagar and Rebecca and Jacob and Leah and Rachel and all that wonderful saga of the patriarchs is going to be our summer reading. So a little plug, if you want to go deeper than we can in a sermon, you can come and join us on Wednesdays at noon for Bible study on Zoom. We have a lot of fun going a little bit deeper into these lessons. We will also be following the story of Jesus in Matthew's gospel in a similar way. All summer long, we're going to read Matthew's gospel, mostly in order, somewhat hopping. Aw. Poor little girl. Aw. Those pews are hard. So we'll be following the story of Jesus in Matthew's gospel also. And for those of you who love theology, we'll be reading Paul's letter to the Romans week after week also. That's kind of like Christianity 201. That's Paul reflecting in his own unique way on the life and teaching of Jesus and putting it into deep theological terms. So that's just a preview of coming attractions. The story today of Abram is fascinating. He, at this point, was 75. He'd already left his home in Ur, which was like 200 miles southeast of Baghdad in modern geography. He'd already moved with all his family to Haran, and they had settled there and were doing okay. And then God said, nope, not far enough. You got to keep going. God said to Abram, I want you to leave everything you know. I'm not going to tell you how long it's going to take. I'm not going to tell you where you're going. I'm not going to tell you that everything's going to be okay. Just go. And Abram said, sure, sounds good. He had faith somehow to overcome those obstacles. He was a stranger everywhere he went, an outcast, you might say, someone who wasn't from there. In those days, it was even more important that you were from a place, that you had kin. And he was in this traveling caravan his entire life, going from place to place, seeking the fulfillment of God's promise. There's a little desperation, I think, when I think of my family's story, emigrating to New York from Wales. A little desperation maybe in Abram's gamble to follow God. And there is certainly some desperation in the characters in our gospel today. We meet a woman who has been hemorrhaging for 12 years. Think about that, 12 years. In Mark's version of the story, she has bankrupted herself going to doctors. We don't get all that in this version, but imagine her desperation. She's probably tried everything, and nothing has worked. She is at the end of her rope. And so she takes a leap of faith and says, maybe Jesus. Maybe this Jesus that everybody's talking about, maybe Jesus who heals people, maybe he could heal me. But there was a problem. In Jewish society, she was an outcast. Her hemorrhaging made her untouchable. She could not have dinner with people. She could not be with people. She was isolated and utterly alone because of her condition, ritually impure because of her hemorrhaging. In Jewish society, a woman who had her period had to be ritually purified afterwards before she could re-enter society. Same thing after childbirth. This woman was living in a perpetual state of impurity, according to Jewish law. She was forgettable, ignorable, a nobody, worthless, hopeless. And yet, she had grit. She had courage, and she dared to touch Jesus' garment, violating all of the laws of Jewish society. She went up to him and she just went for it. She grabbed his cloak and she was healed. And did Jesus condemn her? No. He looked at her and saw not a ritually unclean person, but a beloved child of God. And he said, "Woman, your faith has made you well." Your grit, your courage, your unwillingness to allow others to define you has made you well, and I heal you. Jesus went on to heal a child who had died. And again, this leader of the synagogue was a natural enemy of Jesus, right? The Jewish religious establishment had decided that Jesus was a disturber of the peace, a problem to be dealt with, not someone to hang out with, and yet this man was desperate. His child, his beloved daughter had died, and so casting all of that aside, humiliating himself, he knelt before Jesus and said, "Please, save my daughter." And so Jesus went, and he took her by the hand. He threw out all the, you know, the mourners who were making noise, those were professional mourners. You'd pay people to do that. So they were all doing their professional wailing and dancing and stuff. And Jesus said, "Get out of here. She's only asleep." And they laughed at him. But then he took her by the hand and she came to life. These stories are amazing. And they're aimed at us, but also at all those who try to use religious laws to exclude. Think of Matthew, the tax collector. He was another desperate person. Think of him sitting there at his tax desk, another untouchable, hated by everybody because of his job, because he extorted money from his neighbors to pay a quota to the Roman emperor. You can imagine that Matthew was longing for something different, like my family in Wales, like Abram in Ur, like the woman with the hemorrhage, like the leader of the synagogue, yearning for a word of hope in a time of despair. He was sitting there figuring that there was no hope for him for a better life. And then Jesus came along. And Jesus looked at him and saw not a sinner, not someone to be cast aside, but a beloved child of God. And he said to Matthew, follow me. I believe that we struggle with the very same issues as all of these characters in the Bible. We may not have the specific ailments that they suffered with, but we know what it feels like to be unworthy, to be cast off, to be considered less than. We know what it feels like when life deals us a hand and we figure there is no more hope. And yet, like Abram, can we have the courage, the grit, to hope against hope, to long for the kingdom of God to come in our lives, to bring a call from Jesus to follow, an invitation from God to wander into the promised land, the healing touch of Jesus the Savior? Can we hope against hope for that? And can we go even further? Can we look beyond all of the reasons to exclude others and have the vision, the courage, and the faith to see in every human being a beloved child of God? Can we truly see in refugees, in the LGBTQ community, in those who have been written out of the story for whatever reason, can we see with the eyes of Jesus, the beloved and precious child of God? Can we follow God that far into the strange and unknown land that God calls us to, where God promises to be with us and for us, a land in which Jesus will always take us by the hand, turn and look at us, and see a beloved child of God?